Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Football, fighting, and full of nonsense. The Stephen Housen Podcast. Made in Manchester.
Hello everybody, this is Stephen Housen, this is the Warm Down Podcast, and today I am delighted to be joined by my mate and your mate, Cheeky Sport Joel. What's happening, our kid?
How are you? Boy, I wasn't going to say, how you doing, Housen?
I'm alright, mate. Do you want to tell the people what you're doing so we can see you at the moment?
Mate, this is what you call brother problems. Brother problems. Basically, like, I'm using like a phone light, yeah? Just to like get some light in, because if I do this, mate, all you see is teeth. Look at this. You know what I mean? So I'm having to have like 5-6 lights. I don't know how Dave did this, mate. He's darker than me. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking anyway. Of brother problems, you just come back from Russia. Well, that was interesting.
what a sink. Yeah, I just came back from Russia and I'm alive.
But not only by luck, to be honest. Like, because I wouldn't fuck about in Russia. Tell people what happened.
Basically, yeah. Before I went, I must have somehow announced I was going to Russia. Then I get a message from Housen, like, mate, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You do remember who you are, right? I'm like, it's fine, mate. I'll be all right. Like, I thought, whatever. Do you know what I mean? Because I had a few of those messages. I was like, lots of banter. I arrive in Russia, right? Like, bearing in mind, my passport's a bit, like, it's got a bit of, like, it's a bit tattered, a tiny little bit, right? Oh, mate, that's not good over there. They detained me for a solid 25 minutes. Like, the woman's like this the whole time. Like, looking at me, looking at passport. Next thing you know, she puts it through the system. And then there's, like, all these Russian guys that had to come and approve me. I was pissed off. I was pissed off with you as well, because you were right. And then, but then besides that, I went there and you know, all the Russian people have never really seen anyone that's black, so they just wanted to take pictures all day long. So I felt like I was in Old Trafford. So it's all good, man.
What was the atmosphere of the tournament like? Because obviously World Cup's there next year. People are genuinely worried about gangs of hooligans mooching about and all that sort of stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, but let me tell you something. The fans that I was there with were really, really good. There was only like one Cameroon fan that I saw outside of the stadium. But besides that, Chile were playing Cameroon. So the Chilean fans are amazing. It's like they bring that South American vibe everywhere they go. And I was surprised at how many Chilean fans there was, because it's the Confederations. It's not the World Cup, but there seemed to have been thousands of Chile fans. And then I found out that Chile is the richest country in South America, so it makes sense.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so
every day is a school day.
Every day is a school day, my man.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? The Confed Cup doesn't get, and it isn't getting much publicity over in England, because we're not in it, so no one gives a shit.
Yeah, yeah. They rather advertise the under-21s, or the under-20s. Congratulations, boys, you know what I mean? World Cup champions.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also is it World Cup or under 20 or European Cup champions?
I think 20. The 21s is the Euros. The 20s was the World Cup, wasn't it?
World Cup, you know what I'm saying? Like, and the under 20s, they had a lot of players that we know pretty well. And I was really impressed with players like Lukman from Everton, who was bought by Charlton earlier this season. Solanke as well, who came from Tottenham, from Chelsea, going to Liverpool. Always a really good player as well. I just saw a lot, man. I saw a few more of the Everton players were really impressive as well. It's looking really promising. Really, really promising.
It does look promising at them lower age groups. I follow Angel Gomez's career quite closely, Tuan Zabia's career quite closely. Both of them captaining different underages for England, and both of them doing bits as well. Like, that I think they're now the under-17s, or they will be the under-17s, that Angel Gomez has been the captain of, didn't go to... I think they went to the Euros. I think they lost in a final, I think, to Spain. Gomez didn't go because he was injured and ultimately ended up getting his United debut because he didn't go to the tournament. But yeah. You think that's a team with a couple of lads from City, Jadon Sancho being a fucking unbelievable footballer, him and Gomez in that same team. And it seems like there's a lot of unbelievable talent in the underages, but no one in the Premier League is willing to play them, and I think that's where the problem is going to lie for England going forward. Because you look at the first team, the England first team, and you look at some of the fucking garbage that's playing for it, and you think,
sorry mate, I just don't understand, man. Like, I just don't understand. Like, I liked it when Mike Smalling was playing, but Chris Smalling, like, United fans, I've got a lot of love for you guys, but Chris Smalling, for your own sake, I'm so glad Lindelof is there now. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you can't... What I know this is going to start the debate, but what makes me feel uncomfortable is I don't remember growing up seeing a Manchester United defence where you're wondering what's going to happen. The last time I saw that was when Laurent Blanc first signed for Man United and he wasn't up to pace. He wasn't up to speed with things. It took him a few games. By the end of the season, he was solid. Fair enough, he didn't get the new contract, but he ended up playing okay. And I got a... that's the last time I remember a shaky Man United defence.
We had a period when Arsenal won the league in 2004 and then Chelsea won back-to-back titles, and we was playing the likes of Sylvester, centre-half, and we had, like, Kieran Richardson, left-back, and there was some dodgy times there prior to us signing Vidic. It was Rio Ferdinand, but it would have been someone substandard next to him generally at centre half, and that was the issue. Once we signed Vidic, I mean, that back four of Vidic with Evra and Wes Brown, that's going to take some beating as a back four, that.
But let me tell you something, how long did it take before you rectified that? What, half a season? A season max, right?
It might have been 3 or 4 years, because at the time as well, we also had Tim Howard in net and we was going through all those goalkeeper problems. And at the same sort of time, we pulled in Van der Sar, we pulled in Vidic, and shit just got tight.
We also had Gabriel Hines, and so it wasn't always that bad. Do you see what I mean? I think the problem with Man United now is, I'm not saying those were the best times. I'm not saying they're Stam and, you know, like, Stam times, like, but the problem... Oh crap, this is terrible. The problem is, right now with Man United, or I say right now, last season, don't get me wrong, your records are probably good. Like, it's not like you've got the best, like, record statistics, the worst statistics, but in terms of, you look at someone like Smalling and you just think that's a mistake waiting to happen, man. Like, and I don't like that as a football fan. I always say things from a football perspective, especially when I want to big up Man United, because sometimes I like to look at teams and I like to look at the positives and the negatives, and I don't know, man. I just never felt comfortable in the last two years or so. Even when you guys were like, "Oh, Mike Smalling's a beast," I was just be like, "Yeah, but he's still like he's a miskick."
There was a period, the start of last season, not the one just gone, the one before. Smalling had gone through maybe 10 or 12 games where he was colossal, and it was genuine. That was the Mike Smalling era. And he was class, and he was undeniable. And alongside Blind, they had a real connection with them two going. And then, I don't know what's happened to him this year. I don't know if it's form. I can't tell you what it is, because he looks a shade of himself. And he looks frighteningly bad.
Stephen Housen, let me tell you something. When was the last time you looked at a Man United team and you said, 10, 12 games where he was solid, that's not good enough. That is not good enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is the standard... You're starting to sound like our club, mate. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're starting to sound like Arsenal, mate.
No, it was 10, 12 games from the start of the season. He started the season mint, and then I don't know if he got injured. I can't remember what happened with him, but he fell off.
Sounds like Arsenal.
He started losing.
Sounds like Arsenal, mate. Great start, didn't finish. It's not good enough, all right? It's not good enough. So, yeah, so that's it, really. But in for you guys, like, I look at the oppositions and I go, you know, I'm hearing a lot of good stuff about Lindelof. I'm thinking that sounds really solid. I know you guys are trying to strengthen in the middle of the park. It looks like De Gea isn't going anywhere either, innit? So that sounds like good
at
news,
isn't it? At the moment. But while we're talking to Real Madrid, by the sounds of it, about everyone, like, if you read the press, I think there's not a player that plays for Real Madrid that we've not been linked to. So while we're supposedly talking to Real Madrid, someone in that negotiating room is going to throw a little trading card across the table with David De Gea's face on it at some point, aren't they? And they'd be like, because I don't believe that they don't want him, and I don't believe that he don't want to go. And I think as long as he's a Man United player, he's going to get linked with a move to Madrid. And I think...
Yeah, I mean, I look at when you look at David De Gea, you go, all right, cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, at one point, he's going to want to go home. Do you know what I mean? It's like you coming up through the Manchester United Academy, you, Stephen Housen, and then you have to go somewhere else. Of course, let's just say somewhere else is Real Madrid, even though I don't want to, because it's tempting to not come back when you're in Spain and it's sunny and all that kind of stuff. But if you've got to go away, and then one day, they want you to come back. They're like, Stephen Housen, do you know what I mean? Like, we want you to come back to the country. I know he didn't go up through the Real Madrid ranks, but they say, Stephen Housen, we want you to come to Man United, a team that you've probably supported, because I'm sure David De Gea probably supports them, or everybody does when they're younger over there. Do you know what I mean? And then it's hard to turn down. Like, three times, probably twice the wages he's on now. Do you know what I mean? Back at home with his family, the son.
His birds over there as well. I think that's a massive pull for him.
Yeah, and also they look like they're going to win the European Cup, like, probably like for another two seasons in a row, or at least once in the next two seasons with Ronaldo still in the team. Do you know what I mean? So it's very tempting. And if I was him, if I was trying to win European Cups, I would be very tempted. Do you know what I mean? So, but you know what? Also, kudos to him, though, because even though, like you've said, you probably know he wants to go, but he hasn't made a huge fuss. He hasn't, like, kicked up a sulk. You know, when it hasn't gone, but he's been very professional, very good to the fans. He's been great for us when we banter him. Cheeky Sport, we banter professional players all the time. And he's just been really good. And his performances have also been very good as well. He hasn't looked distracted.
No, he's not. He has got on with it. And I think that's credit to him as a professional, because we have seen it where players, Di Maria being one example, where he decided that, actually, I didn't want this move. I've really seen my ass with some United fans recently, because people are talking. There's a rumour that Di Maria might have been coming back, and people are like, oh, get him back, we got rid of him too soon. He was great. He was a very talented footballer, but let's face it, the guy completely disrespected Manchester United by just not turning up for a pre-season tour. Who the fuck do you think you are? Like, this is Man United, mate. Done.
Did he just decide to not go? Like, literally, he was just like, that's it.
The tour team was about to meet for pre-season, and then no Di Maria. And he was in Dubai or Abu Dhabi or one of those places, doing the deal to get him to Paris Saint-Germain. Unbelievable,
mate. Listen, mate, all I've done is play Sunday League football, right? A bit of academy football when I was younger, but let's focus on a Sunday League football. I couldn't even turn up to training with no tracksuit, let alone flipping miss the pre-season tour. But there you go, innit? Like, you can tell that these guys, they don't care whether it's Man United, whether it's, you know what I mean, Real Madrid to us.
No, Dave didn't do that. Dave did not do anything like that. Di Maria's done that, and you think that's what could have happened when this transfer didn't go through. People say it was a fax machine. It wasn't a fax machine. It was an email encrypted file, but whatever.
Oh, really? I've always been saying, but
excuse me, A-fever up in here.
When we went there and got him to sign the fake contract, we generally thought it was a fax machine, but that's some good info to know. But yeah, respect to him, man. He's like, hearing that makes me respect him even more, to be honest with you.
I still think he's going at some point in the future.
Yeah,
so
he's still got at some point, but you know
still
what?
Pretty guarded about him.
Ronaldo went, but it's the way these people have left that gives integrity, if that makes sense. Cristiano Ronaldo wanted to go the season before. Big Fergie, you know what I mean? Sir Alex sat him down and said, listen, man, I need one more year from you. And he said, all right, boss, I'll do it. You know what I mean? David De Gea, I thought it was going to be only one more season that you needed from him, but it looks like he's giving you two, three. So, yeah, really. I rate you, man. Shout outs to you, De Gea.
So, let's talk Arsenal then, because we've had another banter season from Arsenal, haven't we?
Listen, mate, you guys are full-time devils. You know, I love you guys, yeah? And I say full-time, but Stephen Housen, I love you guys. But, mate, just take it easy, yeah? FA Cup champions three times in 4 years, right? Let's not forget that. That's our trophy, all right? We let you borrow it last season. It's our trophy. And besides that, Europa League this season, all we got to do is add a few more players and we'll be winning that baby.
Do you know what? I've spoken about this. I can't remember who I've spoken about it with, but I think I had an attitude about Europa League last year. I think I said, fuck Europa League. It's the thumbnail of one of the Full-Time Devils videos. Because I was saying, this is affecting our league form. And I wasn't wrong. It didn't. Yeah. It did affect. And I said, if we try and win this thing, it's like trying to win the lottery to pay rent. And we won the lottery and we paid our rent. But it's not a smart thing to do to try and win that. But I do think that Arsenal have had, what, 20 years consecutive in a Champions League without fail? You've challenged for it once. So is it that bad for you guys to not be in the Champions League? If you had an attitude change, and I know I'm being hypocritical because I said sling it to it, but if Arsenal as a fan base had an attitude change and was like, do you know what? We ain't good enough to win the Champions League, because you're not. Let's face it, you're not good enough to win the Champions League. But like, do you know what? Football is about winning trophies. And if you did go for Europa League, you are one of the stronger teams in it. And I think if you had a good attitude to it from the start, you could go and have a good cup run. And you can go and win something. I don't know where the final is next year, but you know, you can go and have another trophy run. And that is what football's about. And it's not about coming fourth and be like, yes, we got in the Champions League. You didn't win out. You come fourth. But if you go and win something...
It's true. And that's why a lot of fans are laughing at Tottenham, because they came second. But hey, still no trophies. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and I completely agree. I really completely agree. I think that end of the day... My thought is, I think you're right, but I wonder if we do have the attitude to want to go out there and win it. I wonder if we have the attitude to go out there and win anything that we haven't won. I think in the FA Cup, we have a particular confidence in there because we've done it. You see what I mean? We've jumped the hurdle. I think the last time we tried in the Europa League, we got knocked out of the Champions League group stages or something like that, and we played Olympiacos in the final and we lost. I think it was a Patrick Vieira penalty that was missed. And besides that, we're in Champions League. But like you said, we're not challenging. And I think Man United winning it, right, has raised the profile of the Europa Cup.
Possibly.
And I'll tell you why. Because you guys made a huge song and dance about it. I love Jose Mourinho to bits, the way he does things. You could tell he hated the competition at the beginning of the season. He had your attitude. But...
He did say something along the lines of, we shouldn't even be in this thing.
Shouldn't be in it, yeah. He hates it. But he went out there and he did his job and he analysed the league and he saw how tough it was. And then he said, right, he started taking it more and more seriously and he instilled. And look, at the end of the day, I've never seen a team celebrate so much winning the Europa League and it meaning so much, because at the end of the day, Jose Mourinho is class. But the reason why I know the attitude has changed towards Europa League is, don't forget, Chelsea won it a few seasons ago. No one flipping cared, mate. Do you know what I mean? Like, because Jose Mourinho came in the next season and said, he actually dismissed them winning that whole trophy and said, mate, that means nothing. Do you see what I'm saying? So, but now Man United...
Typical Jose.
Now Man United winning it, he's like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's on his desk.
You know what I'm saying? He doesn't want to see any FA Cups from LVGs. He doesn't want to see all that kind of stuff. He only wants to see his trophies there. You know what I mean? But yeah, so, and funnily enough, I didn't know till the other day that was the only European trophy that Zlatan has won. So, do you know what I mean? Must mean a little something.
There's a couple of people throwing it out there as well that Zlatan hasn't left United. He was pictured in the training room the other day in the full United kit, still with the number 9 on, doing his rehab. So he's out of contract, but he's been allowed to stay at United to continue his rehab at United, which I think is big. I think it's big,
that's
man.
Zlatan. That's Zlatan.
He's still in the changing room, isn't he? Whether or not he's in the changing room on a Saturday, he's in the changing room Monday to Friday with all these guys still. So Marcus Rashford, Marshall, even Morata, if he comes in, a little word of advice from Zlatan is going to be priceless, isn't it? Just in your ear while they're on the training pitch, while they're in the weights room, anything like that. And I think come Christmas, if United, whether it's going good or bad, I think there's a half a chance that come Christmas, someone's going to say to Zlatan, listen, there's a 6-month contract. Why don't you finish the season? Especially if United are doing bits in the Champions League, because he's not won that. He's not won a Premier League. If we're looking even likely for either of those things, he's going to put in his name on that paper straight away to pick a medal up big time.
Yeah, and you know what? So can you explain to me the situation and for the listeners? So you're saying that I heard that he was allowed to carry on his rehab. I mean, to me, that's kind of normal, because sometimes you do have players that when you've got a good relationship in a club, they make exceptions. I remember Henrik Larsson for Man United, they tried to get him a medal because he was immense in the games that he played for United. I'll never forget that. Do you think, there goes that light again, so do you reckon they'll keep him on to train even like when the season starts?
Yeah, I think he... This is a guy that's moved around like every other year pretty much in his entire career, isn't it? If not more. So he's never had a base. He's never had, you know, a home that's his home. And I think if he left United this week, last week, whatever, at the end of his contract, and where's he going to go for 6 months, potentially, while he gets fit? If he doesn't know where he's going, potentially, now, although there's been some stuff saying that he might be going LA, someone from some clothing brand released some saying, like, LA, and everyone assumed that it means he's going to LA. But if he's not going to LA, and if he doesn't know where he's going to be going, then why move anywhere for 6 months? Why uproot your whole family? Just stay here another 6 months. Stay in Manchester where you're already kind of settled, or as settled as you've been ever anywhere else in the world. Stay here for 6 months and keep your options open, because I'm sure he would love a Premier League medal to add to his massive collection in his house that he has his medals in, or even a potential European Cup, because he knows that Jose Mourinho gets the job done in those latter stages. And I know United are a million miles away from being able to call ourselves the best team in Europe, but the best team in Europe does not always win the Champions League. And a manager like Mourinho, who can tactically outsmart someone, and I tell you what, that he's not a perfect manager for me at United, but there's no one better for United at the moment than him, I don't think. And I think there's some things I have an attitude with about what he does.
I completely disagree. I think he is the perfect manager for Man United. I've been Jose Mourinho's number one fanboy since he burst into the scene. Like, I think not just since he burst into the scene, since he won his first season at Chelsea, but even more so when he won the treble at Inter Milan. Because no one can tell me that he had all the money in the world. No one can tell me, yeah, fair enough, you bought Samuel Eto'o, but you're allowed to buy one or two good players. Everyone does that. Do you see what I mean? Like, so what? Do you know what I mean? Like, you guys went for Varane when Varane was one of the best midfielders in the world. Do you know what I mean? Like, so doesn't mean Man United cheated. At the end of the day, sometimes you have to reinforce that you've got a marquee signing. And Eto'o was probably his marquee signing, and look what he did there. He had average players looking really good. I mean, I remember some of their strikers that they had.
Was it Balotelli there at the time?
Yeah, Balotelli was there at the time, you know what I mean? He made strikers who have probably struggled ever since, right? Or players that have struggled ever since. He made them look like top class. And the same...
He was wrecking me. Sorry, everyone. I keep rubbing my eyes on my nose.
Right, yeah, and I've got a bit of a cough, guys, you know what I mean? But it's not stopping us from doing the Stephen Housen podcast. Come on! So, yeah, basically...
All right, Dave, calm down.
Dave. So, yeah, basically... I remember as well, so what he did at Porto, no one can tell me that. Because he's won the European Cup, the Europa Cup with Porto as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he won that, and then won the Champions League the year after.
And won the European Champions League. I'm sorry, mate. If he has a weakness, he says it himself, it's probably where he can't understand weak mentality. Gotta love Jose for that.
And there's a lot of aspects that I like, but, you know, I'm greedy. I want perfection, and he's not perfection.
Where is he not perfection?
He doesn't trust youngsters when youngsters have been the better option than some of the players that he's played, in my opinion. Marcus Rashford's had a lot of experience, but Marcus Rashford's at England International when Jose came. So it's not like bringing someone through from the academy himself. He's not done that. He's had opportunities to bring in Tuan Zebi and Fosu Mensah all season and didn't. But saying that, he also shunned Memphis, he also shunned Schneiderlin, he also shunned Schweinsteiger. So he's not just doing it to youngsters, but he's not perfect in that aspect.
I don't think he cares whether you're young or not. I think he's looking for a particular mentality. Maybe. You see what I mean? Maybe. And I think because if you're looking at, I remember him sitting down in interviews saying France need to thank him. France, the national French team need to thank him because through Varane, that he bought through, by the way, through Zuma, that he bought through, by the way. Yeah, he bought him from somewhere else, but he still bought him through, right? He bought him through. They have potentially the best centre-back pairing that they can have for France for the next 10 years. But I think to him, it's all to do with mentality. If you look at young players, like, fair enough, he didn't trust De Bruyne at the time. And maybe it wasn't a player that fitted in his particular system at the time, but I don't think he's afraid. I think it's more to do with, is that player good enough? I think it's literally just to do with whether the player's good enough or not. Look, he could have... Yeah, I think which shows why he was able to bring back. I know we're not talking about Zlatan here, but he doesn't care about how old or young you are. He just cares about whether you can perform or not. You know, he cares about how, what kind of influence do you have in the dressing room. And did you hear what he said about Marcus Rashford recently when he was talking about his mentality? I've never heard him speak so highly of a youngster before.
No, and I also hear things from behind the scenes about how hard Marcus is working, and that's to the credit of Marcus that he's gonna. You know, Marcus is doing what you heard the Class of 92 lads did. That to me is massive. I mean, and the thing is, you don't hear that about everybody. And that's the thing. One of the problems that I've had with Rooney is that I never heard of Rooney staying to do extra training. I know people who used to work at United and say Rooney would do the bare minimum and fuck off.
Really?
And you didn't hear that about Ronaldo. What you heard about Ronaldo is Ronaldo would get sent on holiday by Fergie and be seen smashing a gym on holiday. And that might be vanity. It might be the desire to be the best player in the world, selfishly. But he still did it. Wayne Rooney is 31 years old and looks 40. You know, it physically has fell off the cliff big time, and you've never heard of him doing those extra bits. He's very much like Steven Gerrard in a sense. When Gerrard lost that pace and lost that physicality, he went whoop, because he doesn't have the technical ability. Rooney doesn't have the technical ability of a Pirlo, of a Carrick, of a Scholes, of a player of that nature, and he never tried to adapt his game to change his ways to become that sort of player, and he never done that extra training. Marcus is 19 years of age, and you're hearing that he's grabbing the under-16s, and he's saying, right, I need people to be banging crosses in for me, I need a goalkeeper to go in net, and I need someone to help me with free kicks. And you think, why not? Why not? You're a footballer. You've been blessed with the opportunity to be a professional footballer at a club you support. You'd have to drag me out of there at 8 o'clock at night. Like, go home, you dickhead. It's dark. Yeah. What are you doing? And I hear that Marcus is doing that. And I hear that Lingard comes and does that. And because of the cliques that are developing at United, Lingard means Pogba's coming. Pogba means Marshall's coming. And then before you know it, you've got a team of players with this unbelievable, unshakable work ethic. And that, for me, is when you know you've got a force to be reckoned with, because that's what the Class of 92 lads did. They saw Cantona going out there with a bag of balls, practicing his touch, practicing his shooting, and then he would get Beckham out there and be like, oh, you, stick some crosses in for me. And Beckham's like, no problem, fanboying out to death because Cantona's asking him to throw crosses in for him. Yeah. And before you know it, the Class of 92 lads, they do an extra session afterwards because that's what they've always done. And what happens? They all become world class.
And then next thing you know, Kevin Keegan, I would love it. I would love it. Alan Hansen, you don't win the league with kids and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? I just wanted to add, that I remember one of the first professional interview we ever did was towards Ian Wright, right? And we did an interview with him, and it was at Ball Street, and I was just so happy to meet him. And like, you asked the general questions, who's the best player you've ever played with? And he went to say Paul Scholes, right? He was like, Paul Scholes was unbelievable. You can see why. I remember when Paul Scholes scored his like debut for England, him and Ian Wright were linking up like crazy.
Was that in the World Cup 98?
It was before World Cup 98. It was like the qualifiers and stuff like that, like, or qualifiers friendlies or whatever. And England, honestly, side point, I don't understand why Paul Scholes was never bigged up the way he was when he was younger. I feel like Paul Scholes became like this monumental guy later on in his career. But when you see what Paul Scholes was doing, I think the people within the football industry always knew he was special. Do you know what I mean? But I think it wasn't really seen, because you got to remember, when Gazza went on the booze and unfortunately he didn't make it to World Cup 98, he wasn't missed. Paul Scholes stepped up to the plate and did the business. And I think,
at like 20 or whatever he was.
It was mad, like absolutely mad. And Ian Wright was saying that Paul Scholes was by far the best player he's played against, right? Or played with or whatever for England and whatnot. But the other point is that he said all the Man United boys were trained well. He goes, Cantona, these are his words, and I need to send you the clip. He goes, Cantona had those boys trained well. And I was like, what do you mean Cantona had those boys trained well? And it links in with exactly what you're saying. Cantona had those boys out there putting in crosses with him, for him, putting in the work, doing X, Y, and Z. And that all showed when they went back to the England camp. Do you see what I mean? And then all of a sudden, you got these young boys that are just performing way above their level, way above their age. And I want to see that. I'm a massive Marcus Rashford fan. even when Martial was doing bits last season, I was like, personally, guys, I'm a Marcus Rashford guy, and I'm glad that I stuck with it because it's like I could see his mentality. For me, it was like, fair enough, Martial.
There's no 50-50 balls with Rashford.
Yeah. Fair enough, Martial scored 17 goals last season, all right? So, but the way I see it is, great, anyone can have a good run of form, but this guy is not fazed by the opportunity. He doesn't care what...
Marcus doesn't need to score a goal to have a good game. We saw in that Chelsea game where he did actually, I think he scored anyway, but we saw in that Chelsea game that it's the defensive side of being a centre-forward where he puts centre-halves under pressure. That's such a valuable asset to have. Like, I don't think he's ready to start as a number nine for United every game, week in, week out. But I can see, against a team that you don't fancy yourselves against, or a team that you think, oh, we're going to be under the cosh a bit here, throw Marcus Rashford at him and just tell him to get after them centre-halves and just watch what happens. He makes them shit the pants.
No, it's like, and I completely agree. And I look, and for me, that's why he's... Am I allowed to have a favourite player at Man United? I'm sorry, I do, man. I'm one of those. I'm a different type of Arsenal fan. I enjoy football, but my favourite player at Man United, like when I look at you guys, is definitely Marcus Rashford, because I admire him not because of what he is now, but what he could be, and not just for England. So people go, oh yeah, but Martial has the capabilities of being world class, you know, a world class Ballon d'Or. Like, all right, that's fine, all well and good, but let me tell you something. We've been around long enough to know what attitude. You know, what attitude can do.
Attitude perfect. You know what if Marcus Rashford is the Cantona-style catalyst for the current 15 and 16-year-olds at United? So as they're coming into the 18s and they're being used by Rashford, literally just to be his go-get-me-the-ball bitch, even if that's the case, if he installs this sort of attitude, because I know some of them under-16s that he's using, and I chat to them, and I know that they're now going to take this with them. As they get into the 18s, that click's going to grow. And as they get into the 21s, 23s, that click's going to grow. And before you know it, you end up with a whole team of dudes that's just all about the graft. And that's already there in existence in several of the players, because Eddie Barlow, you'll start to see more of this season, I think. And he's 17. He might be 16. I think he might be 17. He's exactly the same as Marcus Rashford in mentality. No such thing as a 50-50 ball. He's probably a better goal scorer, a better finisher than Marcus Rashford is, actually. But no such thing as a 50-50 ball. He's that relentless that you almost want to sit the guy down and give him a back rub and say, chill a little bit, because he's so intense. Joe Riley, which we have seen in the first team, he's the same sort of intensity. There's a couple of these players dotted around the squad where you just go like, who the fucking hell scouted you guys like? Because the attitude is unbelievable, and I think it's infectious. You see Marcus chasing down Cahill, and you see Jesse Lingard's like, fuck it, I'm going to chase him down as well. And before you know it, the whole team's pressing and pushing forward. And I think that's something that has been missed. And it's not a be-all and end-all. There was this big thing when Tevez and Berbatov was at the club, and everyone wanted to keep hold of Tevez because Berbatov's lazy. It's a whole different style of play. And sometimes you can have players like Tevez. I don't think Tevez was the most technically gifted player. I think he was a bit more of a
hungry
guy.
Mate. But yeah, he was hungry.
Yeah, he was hungry. And I think he can be a bigger game-changer sometimes than a more skillful player. Just through sheer determination, through sheer attitude and everything like that, he can change a game with that internal tempo. And I like Rashford for that. I liked Chicharito for that as well, to be honest.
Oh, mate, honestly, I was watching him, because like you said, I was in Russia and I was watching him from Mexico. Man, honestly, I would have snapped someone's arm off for that player. For me, right, do you know what he was to me? He was the closest player I've ever seen in the Premier League to Michael Owen. Him and Robbie Keane, goal poaching, right? He's different goal poaching. Van Nistelrooy is the ultimate poacher, right? But in terms of goal poaching, like, I think he was something else. Completely, completely something else. And fair enough, you lot needed to get rid of certain players. And at one point, you had like 5-6 strikers because you had the young guys coming through. I think you had Chicharito, you had Welbeck, you had RVP, you had Rooney.
We just got Falcao as well.
Falcao.
I think when Welbeck and Chicharito went, it was the right decision. But when you look back on it, you go...
Maybe the timing, yeah, because of the players they had. But I'll tell you what, if there's one of those players that I would have wanted to keep, right, It would have been him. It would have been him because
he wanted first team football, didn't he? And we couldn't offer it him. And what can you do? We couldn't have offered him. You go, is he going to be ahead of Falcao prior to us knowing that Falcao was only going to score Rooney. Four? No. Is he going to be over RVP? No. Rooney at the time? No. So you're like, look, you're going to be fourth choice at best. And that's why Welbeck was moved on. I've seen a lot of United fans moaning that we moved Welbeck on. You're like, he was fifth, possibly sixth if you put him behind Chico in terms of the pecking order. Like, you can't justify keeping him. If he wanted to, I think we offered him a loan and he was like, nah, get out of here. I'm going permanently if I'm going. And I can't argue with that.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Hold on. Rubicon, mate. You lot need to start sponsoring me.
I like Rubicon. Dave needs to get me a Supermalt. I need to be indoctrinated and find out what the hype's all about.
To be honest with you, mate, I'm not a big Supermalt fan. I'll be really honest with you. Maybe I should be saying the opposite because everyone loves Dave, everyone loves Supermalt, but it's just not me, mate. I'm you know what I mean? You'll never see me actually drinking a Supermalt. Probably see me holding the bottle. We're holding Dave's bottle, but to actually drink it, it's not me, though.
What do you do with all the Nando's bottles that you get signed?
You know what, right? Nothing. Like, they just kind of, like, become collected ornaments of some sort. Like, and it's like, some of them we've given away to fans, like, in terms of some of the stuff that we've got signed. I think the latest Nando's thing we had was the Nando's stick sign, and we gave it to a fan, and he was so happy because it had, like, Conte over it. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah, whatever. And, yeah, some things we give away, some things we keep.
I've got a bag down there with 14 signed shirts in. I don't know what to do with them.
Seriously? Well, you know what, man? You got to look after your guys. You know what I mean? The guys on the Stephen Howson channel, you guys are brilliant. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I do a lot of giveaways, saying. Actually, but all these shirts, I've got some specific era ones where I'm trying to build up. Like, I got a Class of 92 on. We went to the Class of 92 game. We got into the dressing room in the Class of 92 game. Me and Jadinho. And I was like, and I had to go and do some filming for Devils. So I was like, listen, Jaden, here's a pen. There's the shirt. I went, make sure you get all the Class of 92. He's like, right, sound. And then I left him for like half an hour while I went and did my filming. I comes back and I was like, you got everyone? He's like, yeah, I got Giggs, I got Scholes, I got Gary Neville, I got this guy, I got that guy. And I was like, fucking buzzing. And he goes, I got Rio Ferdinand as well. And I went, what? I said, why have you got Rio Ferdinand? And he was like, because he was in a dressing room. I was like, Rio Ferdinand wasn't part of the Class of 92.
Oh, man. He devalued the shirt without knowing. He devalued the shirt.
I was so happy and so mad at the same time.
Oh, poor guy. He probably thought he was doing the right thing.
He definitely did.
Oh, man. Oh my gosh. That is hilarious.
So I've got like... I think I've got like 15 of the 20 Class of 92 lads on there.
Solid.
And Rio Ferdinand.
And Rio Ferdinand. Solid. I recently played some football with him as well.
Oh, yeah. What's the crap with Rebel FC?
Yeah. He was literally our manager. And he was offended that because he asked everyone in the beginning of the game. He goes, all right, I want you guys to write a player and write who you think you play like. And I was playing centre-half at the time, right? So everyone was just like, oh, Kante, all this. And, you know, me being ballsy, I wrote Rio Ferdinand. Like, and then straight away, he's like, Joel, did you write this? I'm like, yeah. He goes, what, you mean me, Rio Ferdinand? I was like, well, I didn't mean Antoine. I meant you. Do you know what I mean? And then he's just like, you know what I mean? You got to play like a Rolls Royce. You got to be oiled up, strong, engine, whatever. And then at the end of the day, mate, we didn't let him down. Do you know what I'm saying? We didn't even concede a goal, mate. Take that, Rio Ferdinand. Come on, son. Do you know what I mean? So, but yeah, honestly, he's proper competitive. Like, you know when you do anything with players of that caliber, you realise that they want to win, mate. They don't really care, right? As long as it's not like anything that's too illegal, right? It's kind of like you've got to let him know you're there. They start the positioning. They do. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can... At one point, you go, it's like you feel like you're there, like, in Moscow. Do you know what I mean? Like yes, tell me more. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you can see why those players are just, like, as successful as they are. Because I had a kick-up competition with him at the Euros, and he was cheating. That's why he beat me. And for the game, I was like, mate, you owe me a rematch. And he was just like, where's the ball, mate? Let's go now. I'm like, well, we can't go now because we're at somebody else's shoot. But, yeah, whenever you're ready, innit? But yeah, it was a pleasure, man. Like, when I love being able to be around people like that who his mindset is just win, 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 you know?
So, Rio Ferdinand's going to go down as one of the most underrated players that the Prem's seen, man.
I said that. Who do you reckon's better out of him and Vidic for United?
I think him. I think Vidic gets a bit of praise for his goal-scoring ability at set pieces, which we've lacked, to be honest, since he went. And he was always... See, for me, Vidic, he was better than Terry, but I'm not even getting into that. But he was... He's in a similar way to the way Terry would have to make these match-of-the-day style tackles and shit like that, and these last-ditch sliding tackles to save a goal. And he had to do that because his positioning wasn't as good as Rio Ferdinand. Rio Ferdinand didn't do that. That hashtag stay on your feet from Rio Ferdinand was because he was in control. And people think that, oh, Rio Ferdinand, he was this Rolls Royce of a player because he could pass out from the back. No. Rio Ferdinand could tackle his ass off.
Yes.
He was a defender's defender first, but he was also very good on the ball. But he was good in the air. He was good. He was strong. I mean, Rio Ferdinand was unbelievable, mate. Unbelievable. And he was good from the day we got him. He was good the minute we got him.
I was saying to Dave, me and him were talking, and he reckons Vidic was better. I'm like, and I was just like, no way, Rio Ferdinand.
No, he caught the eye more because of you're very aggressive.
He was rough. He was rugged. He was like, which is all well and good, but like you're saying, at the end of the day, someone like Rio, right, yeah, it's, you never saw Rio go, I can remember when Rio Ferdinand got burnt out, like, probably like two moments, Ronaldo, right, do you know what I mean, in the second leg, and possibly, sometimes, I would say in the international tournament in 2002, Korea, I might have seen one or two bad mistakes there, but in terms of, and I think Lukaku, last game of the season, last game of Fergie's season or whatever.
His last couple of years at United, yeah, he was not great.
Yeah, he wasn't. But besides that, like, Rio Ferdinand never put a foot wrong. I'll never forget when he came back from being banned, right? He hadn't played in like 8 months or whatever. Was it 8 months?
Yeah, eight-month ban he got.
8 months, and he came back first game. He was class. Immense. Like, you're just looking and you're thinking, I don't know what it is, why this guy won't get the ratings that he deserves. Like, I really think he is probably the best English defender that I have seen in a long time. But yet, people will still say Tony Adams is better. People will probably still say John Terry's better.
John Terry, I'm serious, mate. I don't rate John Terry. I really don't.
I rate him. You can't not rate him.
I can, because I don't.
United fans will probably say Steve Bruce is better than Rio Ferdinand.
Than Terry, you mean?
What would you say?
Than Terry, you mean?
No. They'll probably say than Terry, but I honestly reckon a lot of your fans would say Steve Bruce is better than Rio Ferdinand.
For me, John Terry was a Chelsea version of Micah Richards.
Micah Richards is not good, man.
Exactly. Do you know who the good defender was in all of that Chelsea? In that Chelsea dude. Side? It was Carvalho was a player.
He was class. Do you know why he was class, yeah? Because I realised, yeah, that he did not have the pace for a long time. In fact, even he played for a very long time because even he played for a very long time.
Who did
he
play for? 38, 39 he was when he sacked it.
He played for a very long time. Like, was it Monaco? Who did he play for? He was playing somewhere for a very long time.
Was at Madrid recently, I think, as well, wasn't it?
Pardon?
Was he not at Madrid recently as well? I got Google.
Yeah, he went to Madrid after Chelsea. Yeah, he did. So yeah, he was. I think it was Madrid. Yeah, he definitely was at Madrid. Because you know what, he was caught, and that's another player, right? I don't know how much Jose Mourinho got him for, but let me tell you something. It probably wasn't a lot.
Yeah, it was Madrid, and then Monaco for 3 years.
There you go, Monaco. Yeah, so
he's still playing.
He's still playing.
He's in China.
Classy player. Do you think he was a better defender than Terry, actual defender?
Yeah.
100%. I'm asking the wrong guy because you think Terry's as good as Micah Richards. So.
Yeah, so 100. For me, it was all about Carvalho, and Terry was the fuggish dickhead alongside him. He was.
Yeah.
Terry, what? You tell me what Terry was good at. He was good at aerial stuff. I'll give him that. He was very good at dealing with aerial stuff. But even that, there was games that I saw for England where I was just like, who rates this guy? I remember him seeing. He went out to edit once and it hit the top of his head and just bounced straight up. And I was like, I don't even do that. Best header in the Premier League. Get the fuck out of here.
I don't know, man. You got to give him some more rating than that.
I don't have to. He's won a lot. He's got a lot of medals under his belt.
You're just stubborn, man. You're just like, nah, man, he's one. Do you know what was funny? Yeah, I had a football debate, right, with one guy. His name is Nike, yeah. And I need to send you this video. They asked who's the most successful. We was having this argument about who's the most successful English defender of all time, right? Now, he came out and he was like, John Terry, all day long, blah, 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 blah. I looked at him, I was like, you're having a laugh, right? He goes, who would you say? I'm like, well, the question is, who's the most successful English defender of all time? I was like, it has to be Gary Neville, right? Like, correct me if I'm wrong.
I think he's got 10 or 11 titles, yeah.
It has to be Gary Neville. Because, what are you talking about? It's got to be John Terry. I'm like, are you being for real? Like, did you listen to the question? Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not here hating on John Terry. Like I said, I think he's a good player. Do you know what I mean? Like, how I feel about his off the pitch incidents is like completely different about what I think of him as a football player. And personally, I think he was class, but I thought that you can't take away from Gary Neville. Even though he knew Gary Neville had more numbers, I was like, but the reason why I like Gary Neville is because Gary Neville himself will tell you he wasn't that good. He will tell you himself and Phil Neville, they had to work their ass off, mate, because they did not have the natural ability. And a lot of times in life, I feel like that about a lot of things. So it's like, do you know what I mean? Like, I have to work at certain things. And like, I looked and you can't deny the success of players like Gary Neville and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking about United players because I'm on a United fans podcast. But
this isn't a specifically United thing, though. I don't know. A lot of it always end up going that way because I know more about United than anything else.
People say that I talk more about United than I do about Arsenal, mate. I don't care, all right? Yeah.
Right, listen, so, I know two Arsenal fans that aren't off their head, right? You're one of them.
Yeah.
And Woodsy's the other, right? Do you know any other Arsenal fans that aren't mental? Because you must go to the Emirates and meet some. There must be some out there. I mean, I just don't know them.
Yeah, there's... what's his name? Oh, my God.
I love that this is a thing.
I
love that he's not gone, there's fucking loads, what are you talking about? He's gone, yeah, there's one.
I can't believe I forgot his name because he's a really good guy. Oh, my days. I hope he doesn't see this. He's going to kill me. He looks like Ty. He's a black dude, but he's really big. Really big. He wears glasses as well, right? Looks like Ty. He was... Do you remember our video that we did where there was the... You probably never saw it, but when the Chelsea players were saying, you'll never sing that. You're champions of Europe. You'll never sing. And there was a black guy who Die Hard Charlie was singing it to. I can't remember his name. But anyway, he's very, very realistic, like, when it comes to things. He's really, really good. But believe it or not, I think Claude is realistic when he speaks. He is sometimes, he can be. Maybe you watch him more than I do. But we had him on our podcast not long ago, which you need to come on as well soon, by the way. He's pretty realistic. But and I say, when you, like, and believe it or not, like, no, yeah, I'll say, I can't remember his name. Oh, I can't remember the guy's name. But anyway, yeah, I think he's pretty realistic when it comes to what he thinks of. He's very spread out. I just can't remember his name. But yeah,
I can't say Claude's realistic because Claude loses his shit when he's talking to Ty. And I don't know how much of that is like...
No, I'm not talking about that.
Put him deliberately to sort of like flip him out or whatever, but...
Now, I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm not paying attention to that. Like, I know what you mean there. That's like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're genuinely talking football, right? Because if you catch me on the off day, you might hear me going, yeah, United, forget you got. But I know deep down inside, when I talk to Dave tries to call me, he says I got a love for United because my whole thing is I'm a massive fan of the class of 92 mentality, right? There's certain mentalities that you love. I love Ajax's mentality where they had, you know what I mean, they were bringing through the youth. I love the class of 92 mentality. And I love our unbeaten, Arsenal unbeaten season run. We had a great mentality.
The what?
Don't start.
It was an unbeaten season. It was an unbeaten competition.
In the league.
One competition you was unbeaten in.
Yeah, I knew you was going to say that. You've been spreading this chat for a while. What is it that you're going to say, just in case people don't know?
It wasn't an unbeaten season. You can't call it an unbeaten season. It was an unbeaten competition. We've gone through seasons without losing in a Champions League. So what?
What was that, 98, 99?
Yeah, we didn't lose then. And I don't think we lost in 08.
You're telling me you went through 98, 99 and you didn't lose once in the Champions League?
Nah, because we drew shitloads.
I know you drew with Barcelona 3-3 twice.
Bayern Munich we drew with in the group stage. Matching up
Brøndby.
Oh, well, I don't know. We lost to Juventus, so it wouldn't have been 99. It must have been 08 that we lost, that we didn't lose in the competition. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It's funny how my stats go back so far for United, isn't it? Like, shouldn't really know this, should I?
But, was it? But yeah. on a serious note, like, you made this massive deal out of drawing shitloads of games, because ultimately you won the league. The achievement for me is winning the league. Not the fact that you didn't lose a game while winning the league.
Mate, if we want to celebrate that, that's up to us. That's our business, mate. And the truth is, yeah, we didn't lose in the league. Whether you like it or not, do you know how hard it is to not lose in the Premier League, mate?
Do you know how hard it is to win the Premier League? That's what it's all about for me.
Which is great, but we did it without we did it comfortably without losing to those great teams. And I thought it was an achievement when, again, going back to United, when you lot won the treble. And three teams in that league, I think it was Man United, Arsenal and Chelsea, we all only lost three games that season.
Mate, well, we had three finals. We had to win the league on the last day of the season. It wasn't a done deal. I would rather win it like that than bore the piss out of everyone.
Mate, just let us celebrate and have our good time. You can't then turn around and go, oh yeah, but because it wasn't dramatic.
No, it's not because it's not dramatic. The achievement's winning the league. You got to celebrate winning the league, and you do celebrate winning the league. And I guess, okay, it's something different to win it unbeaten, but it's not a record points total. It's not a record goal scored. Those are, for me, equal things to celebrate when you win a league on top of winning the league. But the achievement is the winning of the league, not the winning of the league undefeated. You see United do, 26 games, 27 games undefeated this season? You become fucking sixth. So it's not about being undefeated. It's about winning the shit. And you won it, so you get the props for winning it, but you don't get extra props.
Leave us alone, Stephen. I'm not going to sit here and go back and forth with that. Just unbeaten in it. Just know that in it. 49 unbeaten. And I know there's Dave somewhere in the background going to say, but who stopped it from going 50? Come on, United. I don't want to hear none of that, mate.
Do you know one of the first games I remember at Old Trafford was the Battle of Old Trafford in 1991? Which actually led to the Pizzagate incident when we did stop you winning 50 games and not being beaten for 50 games. Not many people know that. So there was the Battle of Old Trafford in 91. I think it was something to do with McLaren Lampard. I was too young to really remember it. But I remember, did you get docked and some shit like that back then?
I really don't know about that one. I'll be honest with you. I don't know about that one.
There was for those watching, I haven't a fucking clue what I'm talking about. Joe, I'm gonna get it up and give you the facts rather than just give you my bullshit
there
memories.
And then, mate, no messing around. Do you know what I mean? Go on. Eat your heart out, Statman Dave. Go on.
Right, here we go. So the Battle of Old Trafford is the name used by the British press to refer to a Premier League match played on the 23rd. Nope, that's not the one. It wasn't that one. Right. This is what they're calling the one where the penalty and all that was. That was the Battle of the Buffet, but for me, right, it's not in here, but when was it? It was 91 or some shit. Battle of Old Trafford. 91? No, 1990 it was. It was the 90-91 season. So it was October 1990. You beat us 1-0. The brawl. The brawl started after Winterburn made a lunging tackle on Irwin, who was challenging Limpar for the ball. McLaren Irwin retaliated on Winterburn against Winterburn and Limpar, who Inch pushed into the advertising hoarding. 11 United players and 10 Arsenal players partook in a melee. That's a fight. Seaman was the only player to remain uninvolved, and most were attempting to calm the situation. Lasted less than 20 seconds. I remember this, though, because I was 7 or something watching it. Wow. I do remember, like, holy shit, what's going on here? It was a big late tackle from someone, but I can't remember who. I'm not even sure anyone got sent off, actually. Oh, there's a couple of Arsenal players booked. But no red card. There'd be bans left, right and centre for this. So, the aftermath. They charged United and Arsenal with misconduct and bringing the game into disrepute. United took immediate action by conducting an internal inquiry. Fergie ordered players to the training ground where they rewatched the match, and the club later fined Erwin McLare and Ince. Arsenal followed United's example, and Davis, Rowcastle, Thomas Lampard and Winterburn were all penalised, as well as Graham, who was fined $9,000. UEFA took, persuaded by the governing body UEFA to take action, the FA summoned the match officials for their accounts in a brawl. 3 days after, both clubs were formally charged. A five-man committee submitted tapes, blah, blah, blah. We're both fined $50,000 each and deducted lead points. Arsenal lost 2 and United 1. See, I knew that there was a point deduction. So anyway, that battle at Old Trafford led to that Arsenal were banned from the players' lounge at Old Trafford and were still banned in 2003 when it went off at that 50th, potentially 50th game when we stopped the run. And that's when the Battle of the Buffet happened, because that's why you had a buffet in the changing room, because nobody else has food in the changing room apart from Arsenal, because you're not allowed in the players' lounge. So a little bit of that's how that ended up being like that.
Man, that is some really good ass stats right there, man. And like, and
2004, sorry. 2004, yeah, to stop it.
Here I was, is that Fabregas. I just thought Fabregas was the entire prick that caused it all. So so I guess I was kind of, it's good that I was wrong there as well, to be honest with you. Man, good old days when people actually cared about, you know what I mean, like what happens to United. It was a bit disappointing. What was your thoughts about the recent United-Arsenal game that you saw? I know you guys, we did a little job on you that day. And
I think by then, it still hurts to lose. It still hurts to put in such a shit performance against you. But we'd already switched focus. Mourinho had already switched focus. I think the only positive to take from the game was the job that Tuan Zebi did on Sanchez, which was fucking masterful. It was masterful. You wouldn't have known he was playing. The home game was fucking annoying because we should have put yous away. And was it Giroud in the end with a goal?
Yeah, no, I can't remember. I just can't remember. I just know that game. How do you feel? I know this is a separate question. I'm jumping. But how do you feel when Welbeck scores and he celebrates like against you and stuff like that?
Yeah,
like,
I don't play for us no more.
Yeah.
It's like people talking about, I seen some shit last week saying, could Ronaldo break the Manchester United goal scoring record? Mm. He's a Real Madrid player, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some conversations that are not really worth having, really, are there? So,
Welbeck left. He celebrated scoring against us. I know that he's a United fan, but there's clearly, I believe so. I believe there's clearly some bad blood between him and the way he left the club.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
probably runs fairly deep. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think if you love something loads, like you can love a club and it fucks you off, I think you can. Be pretty fucking easy to be pissed off with them, I think.
Yeah, well, I understand. I mean, personally, I don't care, because of course when I see him celebrate, I think, yeah, mate, do you know what I mean? It's great for me and all that kind of stuff.
I think it's contrived as well. Like when you see Ronaldo like, oh, I'm sorry I scored against you and stuff like that. Like, mate, they're paying you how much a week? When you score for them, go fucking nuts. We're not paying no more.
It's true. I don't know. I mean, I've seen him a few times recently, and sometimes I wonder, like, I'm glad he's happy at the club, but sometimes I think, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, do you not miss it? Or maybe that's just me thinking it. Maybe because I think of, I don't want to say that he hasn't gone to a great club, but I just think of the other great club that he's been at. And I guess you move on with life. It's not really, do you know what I mean? It's not really anything to discuss.
I played for Scotland against England, right? And at the time, I'd never even been to Scotland.
Yeah.
And I got selected for Scotland
What age group did you play?
Under-19s.
What, you played till under-19s for international football?
Oh, yeah, I played for... Oh, no, not football, rugby. I played rugby.
Oh, rugby.
So I played for Scotland, and I only played for Scotland because I missed the trial for the England side. And a Great Britain coach phoned me up and goes, why wasn't you at the trial for England? I was like, what trial? Didn't know about the trial. So he goes, you need to play in the home nations. I can't pick anyone who doesn't play in the home nations. And he wanted me to play in the Great Britain team. I was like, what are we going to do? And he went, well, the Scotland team's not got a full squad. He goes, we can put you in the Scotland team. I said, okay. So I played against Wales, Ireland and England for Scotland. And I played my hardest, but played my worst against England. Because you kind of like, that's where I fucking should be. And I think there might be a case of that a little bit with Welbeck. Like, maybe he plays harder against United to prove a point.
Yeah,
maybe he celebrates hard to prove a point.
And yeah, I think he definitely does. Like, because he knows he's not going back. So there's no point of doing the whole, you know what I mean? Or, I'm sorry, all that kind of stuff. Because it's done now. It's dead, isn't it? It's just an academy that he went through, really, isn't it? Where he started his football, I guess. So, and his attention is Arsenal Football Club. So that's what it is. Man.
I think, Joe, it's fucking late. Let's wrap it up. But anyway, Joel, where can people go and stalk you?
Man, please, guys, make sure you check us out on Cheeky Sport channel. It's not a Man United channel, even though like Dave's a Man United fan and I seem to like talk a lot about Man United.
With you got Kim on there as a Red. How many other Reds is on there, though? There's a few Reds.
Everyone's a Red but me. Some people argue that as well. But yeah, like... I'm an Arsenal fan, but we do have people who are in the team. Like there's a Tottenham fan who films for us. There's a Chelsea fan who edits for us. There's someone that we've got doing graphics as well for next season. He's a United fan as well. So we try to spread it around a bit. So, and we've got a female that has started doing some hosting for us. She's a Tottenham fan as well. So we're trying to spread it out a bit. But
it's
the question
sport takeover, man.
It's a takeover, man. The question is...
Wait, hang on. It's called Cheeky Sport, but you only cover football. Are you leaving a door open to go
not
cover
really,
some other shit?
Because you haven't really been watching our stuff. Because, for example, we did some work with Sport Bible last week where we did a tennis shoot. And if you
I have seen that, actually, with the pong, the fucking big things to pour over your head and that.
Yeah, I have seen that. Jamie Murray. And it's funny because I saw a clip of Andy Murray watching... us do it, and he was in complete tears and very disappointed at his brother for not winning as well, which was funny. But so we've done that. Dave is actually one of the faces of NFL UK. So
I've seen him with Lad Bible and stuff like that doing bits.
And there's other stuff that we're doing outside of there as well. But with NFL itself, we've got NFL shoots that we're uploading soon. We've also got a cricket based. Thing that we're doing this month as well, actually, so you'll see that. So it's predominantly football, but when you see us do other sports, it's not because we're generally doing other sports. We're usually taking a piss out of the other sports because we're not good at those other sports. We're really good at football, but that's what it is. So make sure you check it out. The link's in the description. Blah 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 and whatnot. Everywhere is Cheeky Sport on social media, everywhere. But please make sure you subscribe. And you'll see Housing on there as well, especially next season. Thanks very much for helping us a lot this season, by the way, with sending in vids and stuff like that. And I know I sent mine in like a day late once, but I did like a full 2-minute vid that was like a day late. Like, I'm sorry, but you gotta get me on the podcast again soon, man, because I know this is off season. I want some of that mid season action as well.
The whole idea of the warm down is it goes out on a Monday and it's after the weekend's games. Yeah. Obviously, when there's no games on, I had June off, bringing it back now and going all the way through July. Trust me, Joel knows who I've got, but I'm not going to tell you guys who we've got. There's some fucking guests. I'm talking ex-players and stuff like that. There's some fucking guests coming up, so make sure to check it out. And who better to kick it off than our kid? We'll definitely get you on after one of the Arsenal games, I am sure, because like I said, there's you and Woodsy to talk to about Arsenal that don't want to make me pull my hair out, so.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it, man. I always have a good time as well. But we're going to be doing a lot of stuff anyway, so watch the space. Cheeky Sport, Stephen Housen. He's like a secret member of Cheeky Sport. He doesn't know it yet, but he really is. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I love you, man. Have a good one. And shout out to all your subscribers, man. You guys are brilliant, man. Keep supporting this man.
Yep.
Cheers.
Links in the description. See you later.